Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the opportunity to come once again on a Saturday morning for a few minutes to hear your word and then to process it, so to speak, and to respond to it, and then that opportunity to pray for a bit. So as we get into this Proverbs chapter 34, or 24, just give us guidance, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So you'll hear a lot about wisdom today. Again, you'll hear a lot about doing the right thing. And there's only two buts in this. We're getting this particular section here is not so much a but contrast, but we still have a lot of contrasts in the Proverbs as the method of really teaching us, I think. Verse 1 says, do not be envious of evil men. So are you. Nor desire to be with them. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Verse 3, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So we think of a house often, we think of it, yeah, it's kind of wood and plaster and foundation, and it needs to be well designed and well constructed, and that's true, but there's a lot more to a house than just the physical structure, isn't there? And here it talks about through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Isn't that a rich verse there? It's amazing when you start to think that through a little bit, what that's really saying. Verse 5 and 6, a wise man is strong. Now again, you look at that, you physical fitness buffs may not think of that way. You think of a strong man, a guy with a lot of muscles, right? Well, in a physical sense, that's true. But a wise man is strong. And of course, I think of moral courage there. I think of the strength of doing what is right. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. We come across that from time to time. The importance of having a multitude of counselors. That's godly counselors. And again, that's not to replace your relationship with him ever. But it is good to have wise counselors, obviously, and not being surrounded by foolish counsel. Verse 7. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool, for he does not open his mouth in the gate. The gate is where you would talk. The gate is where you would have discussions. The gate is where cases would be tried and so forth. But it says here that a fool doesn't even open his mouth there because he doesn't really have anything to say, I guess. Verse 8, he who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin. And the scoffer is an abomination to men. He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin. I bet most of us in our younger years did quite a bit of devising of foolishness, didn't we? Maybe you didn't, I did. But you can see now that that's not wise. Verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I was just thinking there in terms of what we were talking about, persecution and all. If you faint in the day of adversity, your faith may be small too, not just your. I think that must be strength more than physical strength there, obviously, right? Verse 11, deliver those who are drawn toward death. What's the biggest example we have of that? To me, it's the unsaved, right? deliver those who are drawn toward death. So what are we doing about those unsaved ones around us? Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter, just another way of saying the first thing. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not God, he who weighs the hearts, consider it? That kind of caught me. Do I know that somebody's an unbeliever? Yeah, I think I do, if I spend any time around them. And then I don't have an excuse. Surely I didn't know it. Does not he who weighs the hearts consider it, God? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? Absolutely. And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? What a gracious, fair, loving God we have. Verse 13, 14, my son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So we got a physical picture there. Those of you who are having donuts right now, or had donuts right now, you can relate to that probably. Verse 14, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. So you see the parallel there? Honeycomb looks good, tastes good, sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. So, have you found that wisdom to be in your soul? Yes. Well, how much? We could always have more, I guess. Verse 15, 16, do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Seven times could also be an innumerable number of times without limit, really, but it means more than just once or twice or three times, right? Seven times. So I don't know the last time you were down for the count, but I'm sure the Lord lifted you up and you're right again. Verse 17, 18, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Wow. I violate that all the time. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Now that one really shows you where we should be and where we are, doesn't it? Or maybe it does to me anyway. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Maybe on you, I don't know. Anyway, that's a thinking one there. Verse 19, 20, do not fret because of evildoers. Sounds like Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. How many of you are fretting right now because of evildoers? I fret some. I shouldn't, but I do. I get perturbed every time I hear by more wickedness being exposed in the public places. We've heard a lot of that in the last several weeks. I fret a bit, or I tend to do that. I don't like it. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. For there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. So I think it's important for us, when we see the wickedness, never, and we see the riches or whatever, you know, rich and famous or whatever you look at, You know, the flesh would say, yeah, man, that sounds kind of nice. Go the other side and pray for them, because they're so stumbled by that. They're in a really a bad place, aren't they? Really a bad place. Verse 21, 22, my son, fear the Lord. There it is, fear the Lord. Can't get that too much. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change. I guess I have a devious mind. I think of trans when I see it. I see change, right? But not. I don't think that's what this means necessarily. Do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin these two can bring. Calamity and change can bring a lot of bad things. Now we got further sayings from the wise. Some think this is now more put together by Hezekiah and so forth, but particularly kind of the rest of the book. But I think most of these are still probably authored or penned by Solomon, but it's still the Holy Spirit, so whoever did it, it doesn't matter too much. I think it's just what we do with it. Verse 23, these things also belong to the wise, and now we have a series of the rest of the chapter here following this little introduction. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. How true that is. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, him the people will curse, nations will abhor him. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. So we can think of our justice system, for example, how often this is violated. When you've got a famous, if you've got, certainly how about our whole political realm? You know, we see all of the wrong with some of the top political leaders, and they're untouchable. They've been untouchable, right? Because of their position. It's good not to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, him the people will curse, nations will abhor him. But to those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. I love this one. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. You know, I think every time I see Jesus being asked a question, I just marvel at his answer. And it's always good, isn't it? It's just always good. Verse 27, prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. Preparation's important. Foundation's important. Seeking wisdom from the Lord is very important. Verse 28, do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause. For would you deceive with your lips? And I said, yes, too often. How do I deceive with my lips about my neighbor? I would tend to build myself up and put them down. I would tend to amplify negatives about them more than I would about myself. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, for would you deceive with your lips? Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Well, we're told what? What are we told to do with evil? Return evil for evil? That's the world. The world returns good for good, and the world returns evil for evil. We're supposed to return good for evil, right? Now these next last 30 to 34, the last five verses here, pretty much close it out with a little bit about primarily the lazy man. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. Foolish man. There it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, laziness, in other words. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So as I thought these verses through, I thought of it through in the physical realm, and it certainly fits. You look at a drug user, what do you see? It's a bad situation, isn't it? But then there's the whole other side of the righteous and the eternal aspects of looking at other lives that are on the wrong trajectory, headed for absolute eternal destruction. And to a degree, it's laziness. To a degree, it's just misdirection. But I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. Now, he is not sowing thorns and nettles. But if we have an absence of good, what will happen? Evil will come. He is not going around tearing up his stone walls, but he's failing to maintain them. His stone wall was broken down. And I can see that both mentally, emotionally, and spiritually by not doing the right things. But you see it. When I saw it, I considered it well. Are you? Am I considering it well when I look around and see? Maybe some of it in the mirror wouldn't hurt either. You know, what do you see when you look in the mirror? When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. Lord speaking to us. And the laziness, a little sleep here, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So the forces of good and evil, always the force of evil is going to be there, but also the source of good is always available to us, is it not? Father, help us to glean from these Proverbs and think them through. Help us to spend some time with you on them to see how they really affect us, and are we getting it right? Are we looking at it the right way? May you speak to us. When I say that, it means may we receive what you're telling us. We have it right here written in black and white. It doesn't change. Your word never changed, never will change. Thou changest not. So, Lord, would you lead us and guide us now as we would quiet our hearts and just pray as led by your Spirit, Lord. We know the power of prayer is so powerful. And we know that the prayer of a right man, a righteous man, does indeed avail much. You want to hear us. You want to know our hearts. Where are our hearts? Lead us now in these moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I want to pray for this upcoming resurrection season, for the church, that we would be reminded, our hearts would be open to receive even more clearly all that you've done for us. On one hand, that we would recognize we are in a victorious situation, not because of us, but because of what you've done for us, and that that is the only answer for anyone. And the one verse today that was still kind of sticking in my mind, when we see people on their way to destruction, and we may say, well, there's nothing I can do, I've already told them about the Lord, and they don't want to hear. Lord, help us to be open to prayer for the lost as never before, at least in my case. And Lord, that we would be intent on doing what is right. We would stand against the wrong. You would strengthen us and give us the moral courage to say no to something that is should be said no to, and we should say yes to something that should be yes. So let our yes be yes and our no be no. And let us stand for you, Lord. because of your strength, because of you, Holy Spirit, in us. May we recognize without you we can do nothing. But the converse of that is that, as Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, who strengthens us, who strengthens me. Lord, help us to show up. Help us to show up at the battlefield, Lord. You will do the fighting, but we need to show up, and we need to stand for what is right. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I just want to again pray for Sam's soul, Lord, that even at this very moment she would be moved by your Spirit to see her desperate need for you, Lord. And we could put any other number of names in that same prayer request, Lord. Each of us have those that you put on our heart to pray for. And may this be the hour, may this be the day, may this be the moment, Lord, that they would see their need and they would just cry out to you, and they would repent and they would confess of their desperate need for you and their need for forgiveness. May it happen now, Lord. Well, let's just close. Proverbs 24:3 said, through wisdom a house is built. And I was thinking of this song and our hope as well. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So let's stand, if you can or if you want, and sing this together, if we might. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the fact that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you for the opportunity to share that with others, Lord, and help us with words and words to others and words to you and prayer. And may your will be done and may your kingdom come. And those tough ones around us that just don't seem to want to move to you, we can't do anything but pray for them, I think, and love them and not compromise and watch you work. But Lord, we're confident that we know you want all to be saved and none to be lost. So Lord, we thank you for this morning and guide us as we go today. May we redeem the time today, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.